Welcome to the One Bottle of Wine podcast. I'm Emily.
And I'm Anissa.
And tonight we are opening the black box. So Anissa, do you want to tell us a little bit about tonight's wine?
Of course I do, Emily. So tonight we're switching it up once again. And instead of doing one bottle of wine, I am going to open up my black box Pinot Noir 2020. Again, if you didn't get that, it's boxed wine. So it's a mini one. And I think it was the last time I was at the store. I was just in the mood for some wine that, again, as we've mentioned before, we could close and not have to worry about it going bad. So Black Box has a couple of different flavors, but the one naturally that we have selected is the Pinot Noir. And I'm going to take a little sip so I can tell you guys what I think of the taste.
Let's take a sip.
I chilled it, so it's good.
I chilled it too, so I feel like the chilling always is helpful for boxed wine, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is definitely, it's a little bit on the drier side. It's not, there's no like sweetness, no flavor. I know we did a red blend last week that was super sweet and you can notice it. This mm-hmm. one's definitely more dry. I kind of taste some of like the cacao and, you know, chocolatey kind of flavor.
I feel like, you know, our app is saying that there's some strawberry notes and like strawberries aren't always the sweetest, right? Like, I feel like when you think of really sweet yeah. fruit, the strawberry that's coming through, I feel like maybe adds to that dry taste a little bit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, our app says there's notes of strawberry, cherry, and raspberry.
I like it. It's like $10, not even that, depending. I think I said I got it at Target and it's a 2021. You know, on the side, it says they're smart and convenient, which I completely on the side of the box, it says they're smart and convenient, which I completely agree with, because after I have my one glass of wine, because I've had a lot of alcohol this week, I am going to just close it and leave it in my fridge until the next time I feel like having one glass. So
that's the downside about us not being able to record live anymore, is that it's getting pretty difficult to finish one bottle of wine as a single person in my household drinking. And so it doesn't usually end up being one bottle of wine.
Right.
So I can tell your voice is a little bit hoarse. You want to tell us about your weekend and why your voice is so raspy?
Yes. I'd love to. So actually I've had a really long week. I went to Houston last Sunday. And I got home this Sunday. So I haven't been home for the last 7 days. So on Sunday, I went and hung out with my uncle and cousins that live in Houston. And then on Tuesday, I had to be down there for a conference anyway. So I was working from Tuesday to Friday. And then Friday, I got up really early and went to one of my best friend's wedding. She had a wedding this weekend. That was yesterday. And we did a lot of singing, a lot of screaming, you know, more screaming than singing, I think, because I don't have vocals like that. And so I think just a combination of like being really tired, you know, the weather in Houston, it was like 75 degrees at one point and then it was 30 the next day. So I think that, and then singing and dancing and all that stuff has caused me to, you know, lose my voice. But I think I sound kind of sexy. What do you know?
I think you sound very sexy.
Thank you. How was your weekend?
Oh, it was good. It was pretty low key. I'm getting ready to go for my first trip away from Sweetie Buns on Tuesday morning. I'm going to be gone for like 3 full days. So I feel a mix of emotions. I think I'll be really sad when I'm there. You know, I get to meet one of my coworkers who I've been working with for a long time in person for the first time, which is wild because like we work very closely together. So I'm really excited to meet her and see her in person and hang out. But otherwise, yeah, low-key weekend. We did an escape room. We did the hardest one at the location that we go to very often, and we intentionally left it for last. So we've done all the other rooms that are currently available there. We left this one for last. We got out with 1 minute to spare.
That's really awesome, though.
Yeah, I mean, it felt good. I really did not have hope that we were going to get out because it's a 10. They have it ranked, I think, either a 9 or 10 out of 10 on their like level. But
I've never been to an escape room. So I guess now that I know you guys go often, I'm going to have to crash one of your dates.
Yeah. I feel like you would enjoy it. I just think you would have a hard time taking it seriously.
I'd also probably panic. Like if I can't figure it out in the first or second try, I'm going to be like, man, screw this. Get me out.
Yeah. A lot of it, honestly, is not like you have to know actual knowledge. It's more knowing how escape rooms operate and how they like to try to trick you. And so trying to like manipulate that. So it the more escape rooms you do, the better you are at that. So you don't have to know anything going into it. It's really just about like finding the clues and finding the ways that like the puzzles come together to make sense.
We'll have to try that once, you know, all of this settles a little bit more. I have a busy couple weeks coming up with work, so, you know, I have to really plan my schedule accordingly.
Well, we'll definitely get something on the schedule because I would love to do an escape room with you.
Awesome. All right, so what are we talking about tonight?
Okay, so tonight, one of my friends, Molly, she sent me this list of questions, and I don't know how to describe them exactly. They're just like really thought-provoking questions. She sent a very long list of them. It's like a running tally that she has, and she loves to talk about these things when she has like dinner parties or she has friends over. And so I felt like it was a great thing for us to do, but I wanted to put a little twist on it. So each of us picked five of these questions that we're going to ask each other. And so we're slightly unprepared on each on the other person's questions.
I'm nervous. I'm going to be very honest with you. I looked at my questions, like the list I had to pick through, and I was like, oh, if she got one of these like similar, I'm going to panic and not know what to say. So I'm really excited to see what you picked. I already know you're going to pick some tough ones.
I don't think mine were that tough. There were just some that I really liked. Again, like just super thought-provoking questions that I think will just spark good conversation. So it's sort of a get to know us a little bit better, but also follow along and like, how would you answer these questions?
Yeah.
Because we also want to know that. So maybe we'll put some on our social media and have people who listen answer the questions with us too, so we can share those.
Molly, great job.
Anyway, so. Do you want to start? You want to read your first one?
Yeah. So, I might go a little bit out of order. Just, you know, one is easier than the other, in my opinion. Well, let's start off a little bit light. What story makes you laugh every time you tell it?
Oh, that's a good one.
I know, I had to think about it.
You have yours off the top of your head because I might need a second to think.
Okay. Well, I've told this story like a million times only because it happened last week, but I think it's hilarious. So it's relevant to this time. So when I was in Houston with my family, I went on a walk with my aunt and her two grandkids, so my cousin's kids. And we went on a walk around the lake, and there are these two larger ducks around the lake in their neighborhood. And the little kids, you know, ran up and started taunting the ducks. And you know, my aunt and I just kept walking, we were talking, you know, and we get closer to the ducks and they start to attack us. Or at least we think they're attacking us. And I stop and I burst out laughing because my aunt is terrified. The kids are terrified. One of them is like a 4-year-old boy and he starts like crying, bawling his eyes out, like yelling because he's so scared this duck's about to attack him. So fast forward a little bit, we like walk around the corner and the lady that lives in the neighborhood right there comes out and she's like, they're not sharks. Their teeth aren't like sharks. They're not going to bite you. Like, it's okay. She's like, I hand feed them all the time. She's like, I give them food all the time. They're not going to attack you. But I guess they thought we were going to feed them or play with them. So anyway, we walk and it's a really long, it's like over a mile around the lake. It's like a mile and a half. So we keep walking. The kids are getting tired and antsy, blah, blah, blah. So these ducks get inside the lake and swim to the other side. And then they get out as we're walking by again. And like the kids start freaking out again. Like, we can't, especially the little boy. The little girl was like, it's whatever. And so I had to go and distract I had to go and distract the ducks. And like I had nothing like on me. I didn't even have my phone. Like I took a little piece of like a twig and I was like throwing it at them and like trying to like distract them so that my aunt and the two kids could walk past and go home. And the ducks are like quacking at me, like coming at me. I can't stop laughing because I'm picturing it all over again. So my aunt picks up the 4-year-old and grabs like the 9-year-old by her hand. And I turn around and they just eat shit. All three of them just fall down. I mean, luckily it was just grass, but like, I don't know how I was distracting these ducks, and out of fear, like they started to run, and they all three of them just ate shit, and I just could not stop laughing the entire way. And so we get home, and my aunt has a bruise on her nose because she was holding a kid, so I think she hit one of the kids' like elbows or something. And it was just honestly like I was in tears. I had to like really, because the ducks, because then we like walked 5 feet away and other people were walking by the lake and they just walked past the ducks and the ducks did nothing. Like they weren't even, like no one was gonna even attack us.
Clearly, you're not frequenters
No, it was so, I was like, we could have, they're not gonna do anything. I think the kids just kind of hyped it up a little bit more, but man, it was so funny. So that's the story I can't like, and I've told the story to like my parents, I've told it to my sister, I've told it to anyone that asks. So
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's a good one. I mean, it's funny that it was so recent. Yeah, that is funny. I hope your aunt is okay. I hope her
she's
face is.
okay. But she was laughing. So like later the next day, we were like kind of joking around with the little kid, and we were like, "Do you like ducks?" And he's like, "No," and he like starts to almost tear up, and we're like, "We're just kidding, we're just kidding."
Well, now he's gonna be scared of ducks, just like you're scared of roosters or chickens. What are you scared of?
Roosters, yeah, for
Okay,
sure.
yeah, because you told that story about how you got like chased by a rooster, so you get the fear.
I do get the feel. That's why it's so funny.
Yeah.
This is so funny.
Okay, I
All right.
did think of mine,
Okay.
and mine ties Molly back into this too. So, like another shout out to Molly. It's really a shout out to my larger group of college friends who were separate from you because they were older, so you didn't really ever overlap with them. But this is my ditches. This is what we call our group of friends. When we lived in a house off campus, my junior year and their senior year, we were having a very low key party one night where we got a keg and we were chilling, having a keg on the back porch, not trying to have a big rager party. And some of the younger soccer boys decided that they wanted to come over. And the night before that, they had been in our house and they wrote on our countertop in Sharpie, like wrote on our countertop in Sharpie. The night
Okay.
before, we had had a little bit bigger of a party. And so we had had more people over and like they showed up. None of us, I mean, I knew them because I played soccer, so like I knew who they were. They were your class, actually.
Oh, of
So I
course.
knew who they were, but like none of us were tight with them. They were only there because some of the older soccer boys showed up. And so yeah, so
Call
the
them out. Call them out. Who was it? At
well,
them.
I'm not gonna call any names, but they know who they are. So yeah, they had written on our counter in Sharpie the night before. So then we're having this very low key like keg in the backyard, like little get together with some close friends, like not a party whatsoever. And these guys show up again to our house. And we're like, no, go away. We're not having a party. This is not a party house. You guys got the wrong house. You also drew on our counter in Sharpie last night. So please leave. So we asked them to go and they left. About 5 minutes later, somebody goes outside to get something from the keg and the keg is gone. They went to the back of our house. They took our keg. They carried our keg 2 blocks, 3 blocks away to the older boy soccer house, who we were not getting along great with at the time because of some drama between me and another soccer guy at the time. Took it to their house, to their party that they were having, and like thought that nobody would notice or just did it because they were pissed off because they weren't allowed in our house. So then a couple other of the people who we had invited over show up and they were like, yeah, we just saw what's his face and what's his face carrying a keg down the street down towards the other soccer boy's house. So a couple of the of age girls in the group basically like walked over to that house. Like I want to imagine that they like kick the door in and they start going at the guys. Like when I hear the stories of what happened, because we had to stay at home because I was not of age yet. They were like screaming at the guys, like, where's our keg? We don't care about you guys, just give us our keg. Apparently one of ours shoved one of theirs. You know, it was one of those things. But it was a very dramatic, it was a dramatic evening. But like when we tell the story back now, and the reason it makes me laugh is because like we always add in little flares here and there. Like each person has this very different perspective of what happened that night. And it's every time we talk about it, it's a joke and it's funny. And it's just like a good bonding moment between all of us that we are all a part of. So that's like a story that I can't help but laugh to every time I tell it. I know, I'm sure a bunch of them would do a much better job of telling it. Like there was definitely some shoving, there was some screaming, there was some name calling when it came to us getting our keg back. To summarize, we got that keg back, by the way.
You're right.
Yeah. When like each person kind of chimes in their own little perspectives, it's a lot funnier, but I'm also just not a very good storyteller in general.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's not one of my strengths. It's okay.
That's okay. Yeah. All right. What's the next one on the list? I'm anxious to find out.
Okay. I thought that you would like this one. So this one is, what about you do people misunderstand most often? So like, what do you feel is like a thing of yours that is misunderstood by most people?
Okay. So I went first last time. So why don't you tell us yours first while I think of my answer?
So I hear from like a lot of people, or I used to hear this more often than I do now, but there's a lot of people, and I think you get the same thing, is a lot of people think I'm really intimidating, but like I'm a very, very soft and like emotional person who, yeah, if you get to know me, I feel like you're like intimidating this chick over here. Absolutely not. But I do feel like that is, I mean, not that I hate that, you know, there's a part of that I'm like, okay, it's kind of a compliment that you're a little intimidated, but it's definitely a misunderstanding because like, yeah, another one that I kind of wanted to throw in there too, is I used to get a lot that people thought I was mean. Like people used to think that like my jokes were really mean. And I worked on that a lot too, because like, I understood that just because it was funny to me, or just because like I knew I was kidding, that not everybody else felt that way. So I needed to like be more sensitive to and empathize with other people and how they felt. But yeah, it never came from a bad place or a place of like me wanting to tear anybody down. I always just had kind of a harsher sense of humor, maybe.
I'm 100% the same way. Like I crack jokes because I'm like, you've said it before. Like I thought you thought it was funny or whatever it may be. And it's not always that funny.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely on the same wavelength when you say intimidating. Like I get that so much. I used to have people be like, tone it down. Like you're coming off strong right off the bat. And then they realize like through conversation that I'm just like, I've got a lot of personality and I'm not at all like trying to be intimidating. I'm just like trying so hard to, I want people to understand me. So I want to express myself in every which way. But another one I think is that like, I care so much about my friends and family, and I feel so strongly about certain things that, like in general, it's just a misunderstanding. So like they'll misunderstand my passion or, I guess my, again, strong personality to be that I'm like controlling or like that I have to have it my way, or that, you know, if it's not my way, it's the highway. When in reality, I'm just like super passionate about whatever. I'm open to, you know, like if I was super passionate about having Black Box tonight and you really wanted to have a bottle of wine, I would just, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just want you to know that I'm passionate about whatever it is, you know, what I'm picking.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people take that as like, oh, I can't even talk to her because she's clearly got her mind made up. I'm like, no, it's not even about having my mind made up. I just feel like I want you to feel as excited about this as I am.
Yeah. I get that. That's
definitely one of them. I feel like there's a lot of misunderstandings, but I do like that one. That one is very much like, there's sometimes like with people in my life, I'm just like, you know me by now. Like, you know that if you just expressed it to me like a little bit firmer, or like you were more firm about your words, mm-hmm, I would say that you care about it more than my, you know, passion for Black Box. So.
Yeah. It's a good question though. I mean, it definitely makes you think. Oh, yeah. It at least makes you think about yourself. right? Because like you're thinking about what about you is misinterpreted to others. And you're also just making an assumption. I mean, unless someone's like straight up told you.
But. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard it once or twice. Someone straight up told me. Yeah. That would be a really good like date question.
It would be.
I'm going to keep that in my notes for.
Keep it in your black box.
Yes. I'm like, hey, let me pull out my phone real quick. I think I have a couple questions I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Yeah. My next one is, if you could speak any language, what language would it be?
Oh, that's a good one. I already speak English.
Really?
That's where, I mean, I did have pretty good Spanish when I traveled abroad. That was the best my Spanish ever was. It is absolute crap now. I could understand it better than I can speak it. Like, I think I get the basics, but it's definitely not even, I wouldn't even consider it conversational at this point. Mm-hmm. I think it would be really cool to learn Mandarin, mostly because of my Chinese like heritage. Even my grandma's Mandarin is no longer very good. I mean, she still has some of it, but like it's been so long. She moved to Taiwan when she was 14. And then when she was living in Taiwan is when she met my grandpa. And then she was like, I don't want the life that my parents and my siblings have lived. She actually got sent away from her family when there were wars in China, because China is it's like a bloodline. That's the important thing in China is like what families is bloodlines, right? So anytime there was a war in China, you would send one of your children away so that if something happened to the rest of your family, there was at least one person still in your bloodline. And so the first time they were in a war, it was her sister. And then the second time they sent her away, she went to live with an uncle in Taiwan. She ended up meeting my grandfather. And like, she basically just made the decision that she thought she could have a better life in America with my grandfather. He was in the Navy, so that's how they met. And she never saw or spoke to her family ever again. She has no idea what happened to them. So she's lived with my grandpa in the United States since she was, I think she was like maybe 19, 20. She was very young.
Oh.
Yeah. So I know how to count to 10 in Chinese. I've never explored it like further than that.
Because my nephew, you guys can do it back and forth to each other. I truly had a feeling that that's the language you were going to select.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, why wouldn't she want to learn Chinese?
I mean, that German, which is also the other kind of part of my heritage. That German, Russian, I think also would be kind of cool because I feel like it's a very, it's like spies, you know, spies.
Don't Russia. Mess with Russia right now. Russia's.
My grandpa speaks Russian, so I would also like want to talk to him. And then Arabic was also on my list.
So I believe the question was, what's one language, Em? But that's fine. so my, you know, easy language, not easy language, but like the easier answer would be Spanish. I know Spanish as well, like a little bit. I'm surprisingly like understand it really well. Speaking, like, no, terrified. I know my grammar's off. Like, occasionally I'll talk to myself in Spanish in the shower just to be like, I wonder if I said this grammatically correct. You know how people sing in the shower? I randomly like talk. Okay. I have full blown conversations in Spanish. I think it started because I'm going to Spain in 2 months. And so I was like, I'm not going with anyone that speaks Spanish, and I know they'll speak English there, but I want to, like, if I'm stuck in a situation where I got to say something, like, I want to feel like I can, you know, talk, but yeah. My answer is actually Arabic.
Okay.
So yeah. So, I know you know this, but, I took 2 years of Arabic in college and I loved it. It was just really, really difficult. I'm not your best student ever. So I had to like really focus on all of the subjects I was taking to be successful in them. And I think I just didn't devote enough time to like really grasping Arabic. Plus, like, unless you travel like to an Arabic speaking country, it's difficult to really, really grasp the language. It's not like Spanish where you can turn on Spanish TV and, you know, talk to, listen to people here. It's so much more common in the US for us than Arabic would be. But yeah. I just love the language. So Arabic is my choice. And then obviously, you know, Chinese and Arabic, I think, are the two most powerful languages besides English anyway. So I think, you know, we were smart in making that choice.
Oh, look at us being smart.
Hell yeah. They're powerful languages. You know, I feel like money follows those languages.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. Okay. Well, the next one I have is, what do you think you'd be doing right now if COVID-19 never happened?
Do you want to answer? Or do you want me to?
You go first.
Okay. I feel like I could prep this one. Honestly, nothing would be different for me. I'd probably just be traveling more. You know, the first year of COVID-19, all of our lives shifted. You know, March, I was supposed to have a birthday celebration the week of the pandemic happening. So like it happened on the 13th, my birthday is on the 18th, and like that got canceled, and then things obviously shifted. But I only worked from home until June. So it was like March to June, which was like, that was like a big hiccup. And then since June, I've been back to, I wasn't back to like normal work, because I have to go into different like dealerships and, you know, meet with different people. So I didn't travel nearly as much as I did prior to the pandemic, but I still went into stores every day, obviously wearing my mask and stuff. So nothing really changed. I think the only thing maybe is that I would go on more smaller trips. You know, Maggie and I actually had like the same similar goal of hitting like 30 states before we turned 30. And she's about to turn 30 and she's going to hit it. And I have like a year and some change, but I have like a good chunk of states I still want to see. So I'd probably take more weekend trips. And I think with COVID, it just makes it a lot more harder to do that. But other than that, I don't think anything's really shifted or changed for me that much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, biggest thing is that we were not doing any kind of remote work at all. We were doing one day a week. We had just implemented a one day a week of remote work and everything hit the fan. And we have been remote ever since. I think I've gone into the office maybe 3 times in the last 2 years, mostly just to like get something that I needed from the office, or I had to go switch my laptop because I had to get a new laptop. Anyway, so that's a big one for me, but also our biggest like revenue stream for my job is our annual trade show that has been canceled the last 2 years. So it'll be interesting. So like the trip I'm going on this week is going to be a huge change for me because I haven't traveled at all. I'm used to traveling several times a year for my job. Mm-hmm. I haven't traveled at all since Sweetie Buns was born. I've never been away from her I've been away from her overnight, but only when she was 1 mile away at my in-law's house. So I think that I probably would be in the same place in terms of like, we had, you know, been trying to start a family. So hopefully that would have still worked out for us, whether it was COVID or not. There were definite perks to being pregnant while having COVID going on, because I could be at home when I was really sick. I could work from my bed when I was really pregnant. I got to spend basically almost every single day of Sweetie Bun's first year of life with her, like, which I would have felt like I would have missed out on so much more if she wasn't here and like if I wasn't with her all the time. So I think that's a huge plus. Now on the other side of that, there's also, she's never been in a real store. Like she went to a CVS once to get her passport picture taken, and that's about it. And she was in heaven. I wish I could take her places. Like I want to take her places. It just doesn't feel safe. It still doesn't feel safe. And I hope, you know, she hasn't really had to have gotten to have like play dates with other kids, and she's fascinated by other kids. So I think that those little things would be different.
You didn't have like the fear of missing out either, because a lot of people stopped doing as much. So being pregnant, you know, being pregnant and your life changing from, you know, you and Daniel doing whatever you guys want to do whenever you guys want to do it, to now you're pregnant and limited to a lot of things, but mm-hmm. all your friends are out still doing all those things. Your FOMO was like not bad.
Yeah. No, the FOMO was not bad. Yeah. There was a ton of pros to being pregnant and having a young kid in the pandemic and quarantine and all that stuff. There's a lot of pros to it. I will just be interested to see how it affects her maybe socially. I don't think it will, you know, she's only almost 16 months now. So like, I think that socialization part, she's just kind of getting to that phase where socialization will start to be important for her. But yeah, so that's my answer.
So it hasn't been crazy for us. I mean, it's definitely different, but it hasn't been, you know, we're not nurses or anything like that. So
or teachers who have like just totally had to shift everything they're used to. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So my next one is, describe your perfect buffet.
Oh, damn. This is a good one.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Are you ready to go if you're not prepped?
Okay, you go. Let me give it a little more thought.
All right. So my perfect buffet is A-Towns. So Emily and I and Maggie used to, before I moved to San Diego a couple years back, like right after I graduated college, we used to go to A-Towns buffet literally like every Sunday, like brunch it up. I don't know how or why that place didn't survive. It was lit. I'm sure most of our listeners have been to A-Town at some point, and it kind of sucks, but I'm picturing that when I think of perfect buffet. Okay. So I'm going to give you different food items and things, but the setup is going to be the same. Okay. There's like outdoor seating, indoor seating, definitely like floral decorations. Okay. We're going to go really in depth here. Like we're at the beach, but we don't necessarily got to be at the beach. There's flowers. There's like the green backdrop. There's, you know, flowers hanging from the ceiling, lots of clear glass, kind of like Tate Bakery as well. Or Tate, I should say, not Tate, Tate Latte, whatever. The ones that's, in DC and the one that's now in Clarendon. I don't know if you've been, but very like white for like beautiful. Okay. Now we get to the food, get to the good stuff. So food, I'm thinking I'm going to have a section, obviously, you know, I'm going to have your sushi. Okay. You're going to have different types of sushi that you're going to eat, whatever your heart desires. Okay. We're going to have a lot of spice. Okay. I don't like the fish eggs, so we're not going to have no fish eggs. Okay. But we're going to have a lot of spice, different meats. Then next to it, we're also going to have an oyster bar because I love me some oysters. Speaking of oysters, my friend had oysters at her wedding. Listen to this shit. I was a bridesmaid, right? She had oysters during cocktail hour. Get it? Cocktails. So she had that. So I go in and get an oyster and they had little mini Tabascos. And I opened it and it wasn't coming out. And so like, I try to like dab it a little bit more and the freaking thing fell and spilled all over my dress. So the remainder of the evening, I had hot sauce on my dress. It was a Cabernet dress. So it wasn't awful, but I smelled like hot sauce the rest of the night. Okay. So then you got the oysters. Okay. And then you're going to go and you're going to have the carbs. Okay. We're going to have some like French bread kind of thing going on. Okay. We're going to have French bread. We're going to have croissants. We're going to have different pastries. Okay. Of your liking, maybe some Belgian waffles, maybe some pancakes, you know, if you're really feeling it, but you get to, you know, carb it up because we love the carbs. Okay. And then you're going to have, oh, and you're also going to have some avocado toast options there too, because we love me some avocado toast. And then you're going to go to your next section and your next section is going to have like create your own omelet. Okay. Cause I love me a good omelet. And you're going to have some cheese, like kind of like a charcuterie board type of thing where you can select your own cheese, but then you can also like add your own, you know, eggs, but like, it's going to be an omelet bar. Cause I don't really like just like scrambled eggs in like a, you know, a tub, like at a buffet. Like I don't mess with that. Like just the only, I want a chef to freshly make me an omelet with all my favorite toppings. Okay. And then you're going to have a little bit of like a dessert section, which is kind of like the pastries, but it's going to be more of like the puddings, the smoothies, the, you know, parfaits, granola, things of that nature that you can kind of mix it up. Okay. So that's the food. This is a long one, but I'm like ready to go. Okay. And then the last section is going to be the drinks. So we're going to start it off light and we're going to go with a little coffee. Okay. We're going to have some latte options, like oat milk latte or a regular latte. And you're going to have different like black coffee, you pick, get a little crafty. And then we're going to progress a little bit over and we're going to have your options of mimosas and you're going to mix it. You're going to have all of the champagne with a dab of whatever juice you want. So we're talking 2 splashes, 3 splashes max. Cause we're going to get lit bottomless. Okay. So you're going to have, your orange juice, your pineapple juice, your cranberry juice, whatever your heart desires, friend. Then, for those that are hungover from the night before, because I probably will be, we're going to have some spicy Bloody Marys, okay, extra spicy. And for those that don't like spicy, aka Jenny, she doesn't like Bloody Marys anyway, but doesn't like spicy at all, we'll have, regular. But it's going to be like freshly squeezed V8, okay, like not actual V8 or whatever Bloody Mary mix they put, but like freshly squeezed everything. Okay, we're gonna be bougie, and then we're gonna have more cocktail options, like a little bit on the sweeter side if you're feeling like a fruity margarita, or if you're feeling like a mojito or a sex on the beach, like whatever your fruity heart desires with a little bit more of a cocktail. Okay. And the seating is going to be beautiful. Like you're just going to have the best time of your life. Okay. That's my perfect buffet. Your turn.
Okay. You went like brunch buffet, which is interesting to me because when I first heard this question, I immediately went to like dinner buffet. So I'm going to let you take over. Cause like you hit all the marks on the brunch buffet. Like I can't complain about any of the pastries and sushi and whatever. Can't complain. Like you got the mimosas, right? Yes. So my dinner buffet would start with like the appetizer area, right? So I'd probably start with like, there's going to be some salads. I love a salad. I know that's crazy, but I love a salad.
I love a salad too. I'm with you.
Like a very fresh salad with some goat cheese, maybe some blueberries, maybe some strawberries, like a little goat cheese fruit action. Need that. Maybe go a little bit of baked brie. All the types of cheeses and some crackers. Yes, please put that over there too. Oh, spinach artichoke dip. That has to be included. Has to be. So maybe some crab dip. We love some crab dip. Wontons. Love wontons. My grandma makes the best wontons. Also just like some sliced vegetables with a good ranch dressing. I love that. That's like ideal for me. Then we move into the main course options. Have to have a fillet as red as possible in the middle. Fillet with some green beans and mashed potatoes is a perfect meal. That's my go-to when it's like a, if you were on like death row, what would be your last meal? That is what I would want to eat. Like a very good fillet, green beans, some butter, garlic green beans, and some nice buttery mashed potatoes. Other sides would be garlic bread along with that. I feel like I could throw sushi in there too. Yeah. I mean, it's really hard. Like when I think about my dream meal, it's just like a fillet,
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a buffet. I want to throw in some fish tacos into my buffet. Yeah. I feel like mine's kind of boring. Yours had everything, but
dessert. What about dessert?
Oh, I could go to town on dessert. Okay. Here's what I want. Number one, key lime pie. Have to have it. And like fresh, not this grocery store bull crap that is green. That's not what real key lime pie looks like. I don't want any of that in my buffet. I want the fresh, real key lime pie. Also love a banana cream pie. Don't come at me. They're really freaking good. I would also love to have some Wegmans cake.
Say that key lime pie and banana cream pie are like two of my favorite desserts ever. But if you don't say tiramisu, we can't be friends.
Love tiramisu. Let's throw that in there.
Okay.
Also would just like to throw in like a really good oatmeal chocolate chip cookie.
Okay.
Brownies, some nice fudgy, crispy on the outside, gooey on the inside brownies.
With vanilla ice cream?
with vanilla ice cream and some hot fudge, fried Oreos. Let's throw some fried Oreos in there. Fried Oreos with ice cream and some raspberry sauce on the top.
Mwah. But one thing you did forget is the beverages, madame.
I mean, it's going to be a full open bar. You know, it's going to be beer, wine, cocktails, like anything you want. We're talking about a dinner buffet of my dreams. Sometimes yeah. I'm feeling a vodka soda. Sometimes I'm feeling a glass of wine. Sometimes I'm feeling a beer. Like it has to be open bar. I have to have all the options.
Yeah, for sure. You definitely have to have like the white, red, rosé, champagne. And then you also have to have like all of the liquors available. Yeah. Lately, I've definitely been on espresso martini kicks and they are just so good. So
I heard something about how espresso martinis are basically just a grown-up version of a Red Bull vodka.
Basically, it might be why I like that shit so much.
They're the classy version of the Red Bull vodka.
Exactly. Like you just can't go wrong. Okay. Wow. So that was good. You know, I got really hungry after that. I'm like picturing it. All right. What's your next one?
Okay. So the next one is, what are your top prison survival strategies and what are you in for?
All right, so I'm going to need a little time to prep for this one. So why don't you go first?
I don't know why I would go to prison. Like I can't see myself doing anything that would make me go to prison.
There's no sentence, right? Like we're not, you know, saying, like, I know what I would go in for, but like maybe for like 24 hours or something.
What would you go in for?
Being in a fight. Of some kind.
Yes, you would.
Like, I don't know, whether I'm at like a football game and someone is rooting for the other team and then we get into it and now, you know, it gets ugly. Like, that's what I'm picturing. Like, I'd be like a little drunk, a little more than a little drunk, and somebody would just rub me the wrong way and, you know, we throw hands.
I feel like the only thing I could like see myself going to prison for is like doing something stupid when I was drunk, but I just like don't do. Like, I don't go out and drink anymore. So it's hard to say.
I don't know. What would you have gone to jail for? Like in college, maybe.
Just being drunk and like trying to walk home. Yeah. I mean, my survival strategies would be to just like lay low. Like don't.
Yeah, my survival strategies would be to intimidate everybody.
I know you would.
I would just be like, I'm sorry. You talking to me?
And you would get your ass beat.
Listen, if they heard I was in there for a fight, you think they're really going to try me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then I'll get my ass beat. And then I'll be in solitaire for the next 10 hours because I'm going to be out because you're going to bail me out.
If someone was in there for murder and you're like, oh, I got in a fight, they're going to be like, okay, I'm going to fucking kill you.
No. Listen, I would just be like, you know, I would just be mean mugging everyone and use my like intimidating. I don't think I'd attack people. I think I just come off like a, you don't want to try her. You know, I'm like thinking of Orange is the New Black. I'm like trying to think of like, when you asked that question, I was immediately thought of that like question or of the cast to see who I would be. Like, I wouldn't really be Piper, for example.
I feel like I'd be Piper.
Yeah, like I wouldn't be her. I think I'd be Alex, like her little girlfriend that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would be me, where you're like, I don't really, you know.
Yeah. This one was harder. I thought it would be more interesting, and I feel like I can't really think of why I would go to jail.
You're just too nice. I mean, I can't either. I don't think I'm a really good person. Like, for those of you listening, I promise I'm a really good person. And if you need me to fight for you, just give me a little drug.
Yeah. I mean, same.
Always got your back, friend.
When just a little bit drunk. Catch us after we record this podcast. We would do anything for you.
Yeah. Like, I'm getting into the wine. We would literally do anything for you after like one bottle of wine. All right. So let me get to the next one, since we're clearly not made for prison. Okay. We would be on like a Netflix TV series that says like not made for prison. That's a good one. TM, trademark.
Trademark, we're geniuses.
Yeah, Netflix, star us already, okay. All right, so the next one is, if you could uninvent anything, what would it be?
Ooh.
I know, that's a tough one. I still thought about it. I don't really think I have an answer yet, but like,
one invent.
Yeah, when you're like, where you really think something's just stupid. I know. Telemarketing. If I could uninvent the spam calls and the robots and like the ability to mass call people about whatever, like we're not talking about, well, I don't want to say whatever, because there are a lot of things that like you can sell that people really truly need, like, you know, vacations. People might think that those are annoying, but like people obviously go on them. That's why they keep calling. But the telemarketers that are just like a, you know, like a robot talking to you and spamming you about things that they think that you're going to need. If I could just uninvent that ability, I would.
No, I mean, I think that's a good one. I definitely think that's a good one. Oh, I know what I would uninvent.
What?
Mosquitoes.
Oh, yes. That's a really good one, Em.
Those motherfuckers serve no purpose besides spreading disease and making us itchy as hell. Mm-hmm. Fuck those guys.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I would uninvent mosquitoes. I know they weren't invented, but I would uninvent them.
That is really, really good. God, now I want to think of a better one.
I hear though. The telemarketers is a good one. I wouldn't have thought of that.
They're just fucking annoying. Both of the things that we said are just fucking annoying.
Yeah, they are. Oh, mosquitoes. They serve no purpose. They serve no purpose.
God, just thinking about them. Thank God it's January and we don't have to like worry about mosquitoes for another couple months. But you're absolutely right. Like the fact that all they do is irritate us, and like you don't realize that they bit you till they bite you.
Yeah, and they spread a shit ton of disease.
Right.
Bad ones too.
Back into your blood that easily. Oh, freaking dreadful.
The worst.
Okay, cool.
Okay, this next one I am like so excited about. This is probably your favorite one.
Okay, go, go, go.
Okay. What is your best hidden talent?
I'm an open book. What?
Yeah, but like there's something that you're weirdly good at. Like there's
literally just nothing, Emily.
Yes, there has to be.
Emily, there's nothing that I'm really good at. I'm really good at talking.
Okay. Well, that's not hidden.
Not hidden. Exactly. Can't sing or like dance crazy or whatever. What do you got?
Okay, my one that I typically tell people is I can do a backflip on a trampoline.
Okay.
That's like a cool thing that I don't actually think a lot of people can do, but I'm also really proud of it because there's like a whole story behind it. I had a friend with a trampoline in high school and she was really good at like gymnastics and just like doing all that kind of stuff. And front flips were never that scary because front flips, it's like, you know where you're going.
Right.
Easy-ish, right? But backflips like freaked me the F out because like I always thought I was gonna land on my head and like break my neck and paralyze myself. Like I was terrified of it. And she would sit there and like coach me over and over. And she's like, you just have to like, you have to throw yourself into it or else you're not gonna do it and you will land on your head. But like it's really hard to throw yourself backwards and like trust that you're gonna be okay because you don't like know how you're gonna land. And so it took a while for us to sit there and be on the trampoline and her to coach me through it. And once I got it, I never looked back and I've always been able to do it. To this day, I could get on a trampoline and do a backflip. No problem.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. I don't have a talent. Like I'm like your, when you look at like average, I'm like your average at anything that I do. So there is nothing that I've found thus far in my life, in my 28 years of living, that I'm like really good at or that I like excel exceptionally in. I can lick my nose.
Oh, that's a good one.
But that's not like a talent or hidden or anything. When I think of hidden talent, Emily, I think that like you are a magician and nobody knows that you're a magician, or you can break dance and no one's ever seen you break dance. Like something like that, or like a handful of people have only heard you sing or break dance. Like I think a shit that you see on TikTok where you're like, yo, I wish I could do that.
I mean, I feel like you have a hidden talent. I feel like your hidden talent is that you speak Bosnian, because not a lot of people know that until you start to speak Bosnian.
That's true. But again, I'm an open book. Like within maybe, I don't know, two times of meeting me, you'll know that I'm from Bosnia, if not the first time.
Sure, but not everybody would know that
True,
you
true, true. Like if I don't, yeah, I
don't
see.
like whip it out. It would be one of those things where you're like when you're on the phone and you're talking to one of your parents and you start to speak Bosnian and English together, where someone might look at you and be like, wait, what? And
Yeah.
they might not know that, and it would take them by surprise. And that, I mean, knowing two languages is impressive.
Thank you.
Most Americans do not. I mean, I don't. I definitely don't. I do not consider myself to be bilingual in any way, shape, or form.
True.
Yeah, I think that's your hidden talent.
Okay. I'll take it.
I didn't mean to throw this wrench. I guess I just picked it so I could brag about how I could do a backflip
I mean, honestly, pretty impressive. Like, I think I'm scared to do a front flip. I don't remember last time I was on a trampoline, but I think I'd be scared to do a front flip on a trampoline. So
on a trampoline. I feel like when you got there, you wouldn't. It's like a somersault.
true.
Wow.
Okay, so is this the last one? Did I start? Did you start? Do you have one
You
more?
started, so this is your last one.
Okay, and then you have one more.
I have one more.
Okay, so my last one, I think this is a good one. I think I saved my best because I think we're on both, like on completely different sides. So the question is, how has your birth order affected your personality?
I'm so happy you chose this one. So happy you chose this one.
I knew it. Okay.
Okay, so I actually think that from what I know about birth order, or what most people think about birth order, my family actually doesn't fall into like the traditional birth order roles. Like in some ways we do, in some ways we don't. I feel like I typically hear that like middle children are the craziest ones and the wild ones and the ones that are like have the screw loose. But I'm the oldest of three girls, and I definitely took on the role of being like the somewhat responsible one, all of that, you know, the ones that are very type A, like things have to be in line. I think that played a role. But I was the most like wild child of the three of us. And my middle sister was the least wild child of the three of us. So in that way, I don't really feel like we followed that. But in terms of like, I've always felt very motherly. Like I've always felt very like I've feel like I've had a very like nurturing feeling and characteristic about me for most of my life, where I like to take care of other people. And I think that that's a big thing that comes with being an oldest sibling, is that you get used to this role of caring for your younger siblings, and you end up caring for your friends, and you care for your own children eventually. And so as an oldest kid, I think that that definitely plays a role. But I want to hear your perspective on this as a youngest child.
Okay, so I thought, you know, when I like read the question, I was like, because it asks about personality, right? So like how has it affected your personality? So I am almost 5 years younger than my sister. And, you know, we have a different upbringing. Like we moved to the US when I was 6 and she was 10, almost 11. Like she turned 11 the following month. And so that's middle school for people that like are thinking about it. They're like 11. She went to straight into sixth grade, didn't speak a lick of English. And so she had to like adapt to the American culture, the language. Like I've read, she wrote a paper in high school and I read it not long ago. And I was like, what? I had no idea you went through this stuff. So I think that her personality was definitely impacted by like our move. Mine, not as much because I was a lot younger. So I was 6, but you know, everyone else in my family, it was just me and my parents and my sister. So the three of them being older had more adapting to do and getting like used to the culture, used to the way of life here. And I kind of just like meshed right in. So I was always trying to like get like confused by why they weren't on board, if you will. Like I was like, hello, like it's done this way, or like, hello, why aren't we doing this? Or hello, Americans do this, why aren't we? Because at 6, I feel like you're just barely developed any type of personality. So it caused me to have to, you know, I want to say like that's probably where a lot of my personality stemmed from, because I was always like, hello, hello, like I'm here, hello, we're doing this, hello, we're doing that. And they were like very busy trying to adapt and become something or someone or fit in or work or whatever it may be. So I think like it was more of a cry for attention a lot of the time because I didn't have you know, like they weren't around to pay attention to me. And so I think that my sister took on the role of like motherly figure, setting examples, being a role model. And I took the role of like the brat that, you know, it's funny now, but I was, you know, if you think back on it, I was a little bit of a brat because I thought, I expected them to adapt as quickly as I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that caused my personality over time to be a little bit more like vocal and out there, because while I was younger, I didn't know how to express my cry for help or my neediness in the same way that I might now. Mm-hmm. So I think being the younger sibling in the scenario that I grew up in is a little bit different than being, you know, an older sibling in the scenario you grew up in. But still, you know, interesting, because I think back on my personality, like my sister's still the most organized one. Like there'll be times where she's like, you know, like has to tell me things like I'm not 28 years old. And I'm like, I'm looking at her like, I got that. Like, I know I'm not an idiot. And she's like, oh, I just had to make sure. I'm like, okay, well, you go, you know, it shows like what our dynamic has always been and is always going to be. You know, just that she's just a little bit smarter than me, if you will, like, you know, more advanced mentally. And my personality is still like the fun loving, like, hello, I'm doing this. Hello, we're doing that. That's kind of just like still who I am, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm like your sister. Like I just, everything is very, has to be like a very certain way, very organized, particular, you know, all that kind of stuff. But
you think that you're like, because you and your sister are only 2 years apart, your younger sister, Caitlin. Do you think that like, because you're closer in age or your personality was like you didn't have a lot of time to fully develop into a different personality than what you are for Caitlin already? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, knowing like what our dynamic was as kids, like I think I with Caitlin, it's actually really funny. We talk about this a lot, but like with Caitlin, I adapted fine with Caitlin. I was just over two when she was born. And then with Audrey, I was old enough to actually like help because I was almost six, or I was 5 and a half. So like I was old enough to actually help out with her. And yeah, she was like this baby doll and I wanted to take care of her. I wanted to change her diaper. Like I wanted to do all these things and I loved her so much. And Caitlin hated her because Caitlin had
you.
Well, she had several years of being the baby. So like she was the baby for 3+ years. And then all of a sudden this other baby comes along. And like the whole time after my mom gave birth to Audrey, the thing we joke about all the time is Caitlin would constantly be like, well, where's the new baby going to sleep? That new baby can't come with us. We can't take that new baby. Sleep. And she just didn't like Audrey because it was obviously now we're all fine, but like she was so used to being the baby. She didn't want someone else to come along and be the baby.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, again, now we're all fine. We all have sort of our own personalities. Audrey, I would definitely say is the messiest still. That's like a youngest child trait. So I do think that holds true. I'm definitely the neatest as the oldest child. I am for sure the neatest.
Most organized for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely the most organized. So yeah, I mean, I do think that probably does play a role into some of my personality, but
yeah, for sure. Okay. What is your last one, ma'am?
Okay. My last one actually is not too far off of what your last one was.
Okay.
So my last one is what lesson did your parents teach you that they were most right about?
Ooh, that is a really good question.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you take it away first.
Okay.
If you have it prepared.
I have one. It is a lesson, but it's more so of like what they did instead of an exact sentence that I can give you that is the lesson that they taught.
Right.
Whenever my sisters or I had any trouble in school or with a friend or with anybody in our lives when we were young, my parents did a really good job of always asking us what we might have done to have influenced whatever happened. So if I give an example, like you know, we're at school together and we get in a fight. And mm-hmm. I come home and I'm like, Anissa was so mean to me. She called me this name and she did this thing, right? A lot of parents, I think, would tend to be like, oh my God, sweetheart, you poor thing. What a terrible person Anissa might be. And I
understand. I'm going to call her mom right now.
Right. I understand that as a parent that, like, if my kid came to me, if Sweetie Buns ever came to me and was like talking and said that to me, that of course would probably be my initial reaction. But what my parents did and what I appreciate to this day is that they always made us self-reflect. And they were like, what happened before this person called you that? Did you call them anything? Like, is there anything that you might have done that influenced the way that the situation played out? And they made us think about that instead of just catering and being like, you're right. I can't believe this person would have done that. They made us think about what our behavior possibly could have done in that scenario to, like, not make it go the best. And I especially have seen this in coaching soccer, like mm-hmm. the amount of players that I've coached where their parents could not see that their child was not doing well. And instead of looking at their child's work ethic and practice, or their child's desire to play the sport, that the amount of blame that was turned onto the coaches of, like, well, you're not doing this and you're not doing that. You're not giving my daughter the chance that she needs, blah, 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 blah. Like, the amount of times that we basically got 100% of the blame for their child not excelling was astounding. And it was something that just, like, made me reflect back to the way that my parents handled those situations and appreciate it, because, like, the girls who were getting better had parents who were like, well, what are you doing in practice? Are you performing at your best? Like, are you working hard? Are you goofing off in practice? Like, their parents held them accountable, and accountability matters. And I very much appreciate that my parents always held us accountable for what we did.
Yeah. Honestly, that's a really good lesson. That is something that I know that you're going to pass on to Sweetie Buns. No problem. So I love that. And I could totally see both of your parents, like, just picturing them having that same conversation with you, because they're both super mellow, calm people, kind of like you and your sisters, and your entire family is just has, like, a different outlook. I didn't have that same thing growing up. Like, my parents, it was like a yelling match when I was younger. And that was just because that was how they were taught to communicate. And then it just passed down, you know. So lately, you know, my sister and I, the older that we get, and, like, my sister has a baby and a baby on the way, or, like, a kid and a baby on the way, you know, they were starting to be more communicative about some of those things that maybe we weren't as good about, you know, when we were younger. But, you know, I think of, you know, my parents have taught me a lot of lessons, right? You know, like, being hardworking, or, you know, how to handle certain situations, or not letting people take advantage of you. That's a big one, and how not to let people take advantage of you, for example. But for me, I think it's a trust thing, and I'm still working on it. So my dad's not, you know, my dad's super vocal and open and all that stuff, but my mom doesn't trust a soul. Like, she does not trust, she just, like, really, really doesn't trust people. And I think that it's hindered a lot of her relationships through her life, because she's, like, very extreme about, she's like, I just don't trust them. And it'll be something, I'm like, why? And she's like, because, she's like, you know, I'm sitting next to someone and they're on the phone and they're making, like, faces, like, yap, 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 like, da, da, da. But on the phone, they're saying, like, oh my God, it's so good to hear your voice. Like, whatever. She's like, it's just fake. And so I don't need that fakeness. So she's like, I'm just not going to waste my time being around those people that I've witnessed, you know, giving me the traits, so that when I'm not there and they're on the phone with me, they're doing the same thing. I think it stems on, like, trust, not to be too trusting of people, like, not to think that everyone has your good intentions at heart, not to think and assume that everyone wants what's best for you or is advising you, on things that, without having, like, an ulterior motive, which, you know, when I was younger, that meant more, right? Because our circle of friends was larger. And, you know, we opened up to a lot of different people. I still have a lot of work to do in that sense, because I am, like I've said numerous times, an open book. And sometimes that bites me in the butt, because I've told people some of my, you know, hardest moments in life, or like deepest secrets, if you will. And then, you know, over time we grow apart where the friendship isn't there anymore. So I think that, like, I need to be a little bit more reserved with my weaknesses, if you will. Because you can't necessarily trust everyone in your life that they won't take advantage of those weaknesses. So I think it ended up being true. I've been hurt a lot. I've opened up to way to people that didn't deserve it. So definitely a lesson that I wish I was more, keen on learning sooner in life than I have been recently. So that's mine.
That's a good one. Those are both good ones.
Yeah. Yeah. We have great parents. I know we both love our parents very, very much. So it's not surprising that we've learned a lot of powerful lessons from them, even though sometimes, you know, it makes you think about it. Sometimes we don't give them enough credit.
Yeah. I mean, when we're like, I think about when I was younger and I was like, oh, why can't you just like have my back, mom? But in the long run, as an adult now, looking back on it, what they were doing was trying to help you grow as a person and help you learn these valuable lessons that are not easy in the moment, but that eventually make you a better person as an adult.
Yeah. And like for mine too, same thing. Like they just, it means guard your heart. Like don't give all of you to people that don't deserve it.
Yeah. 100%.
So, great ones. I'm really glad we did that. Thank you again, Molly, for your questions. You know, there's a lot more on there, but we just narrowed it down to the top 10 that we thought were going to fit the best with, you know, opening up about ourselves a little bit and, you know, unleashing the black box. So as always, thanks for listening and following along. Make sure to follow us on Insta at One Bottle of Wine Podcast and tune in next week for another glass, and probably again, still virtually. Cheers.
Yep. Cheers.